Sisters, listen closely. Finding out he's the one can sometimes feel like traveling through a desert of uncertainty. I mean, every time you feel like you've reached an oasis, it ends up being a mirage. As your resident sister and friend, here are 5 common red flags that you need to steer clear away from. First up, if he's asking for your phone number straight off the bat, but not your dad's, well, that's a major red flag waving in your face. Next, if he's hitting you up with texts and calls late at night, you better believe he's not serious, and chances are, he won't respect your boundaries. Watch out for those put-downs disguised as sarcastic banters. You know, the ones that make you the butt of the joke? It's time to show him the door. And oh, if he's more interested in hearing himself talk than listening to what you have to say, girl, that's a sign you need to run in the opposite direction. And let's not forget the classic line, "My ex was crazy." Yeah, right. If he's mouthing his ex left and right, chances are he's the one with the issues. And those are just the obvious red flags. Let's help you uncover what's really hiding underneath the surface with Vibe Check, the ultimate prompt card game for meaningful connections. Crafted with deep respect for Islamic traditions, Vibe Check goes beyond the surface, allowing you to discover the essence of your potential life partner's faith, character, and aspirations. With 8 thoughtfully crafted categories and 135 thought-provoking questions, Vibe Check ensures a comprehensive understanding of your potential spouse, from values and ambitions to personal quirks and preferences. I mean, skip the surface-level discussions and dive straight into what truly matters. Visit our website, www.thedigitalsisterhood.com now, and take the first step towards finding your righteous partner. Your journey to marital bliss begins here.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is your girl, Adar, and you're listening to the Digital Sisterhood podcast. Last week, I left you guys kind of on a cliffhanger. My apologies. Actually, sorry, not sorry. We learned a lot about Faiza. Faiza came to a resolve and peace with what happened to her sister and finding kind of her way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not going to start the episode with a little bit of doom and gloom. We're gonna brighten it up a little bit. Faiza, you know, flies to the UK. And what was supposed to be like a fun family gathering, Faiza met someone new.
So now, towards the end of 2017, me and my brothers and my cousins, we all meet up in England, right? Because I have a lot of family out there. So we meet up. We're having this huge family link up in England. And it was nice. It was wonderful. And I meet my husband.
You meet your future husband.
I meet my future husband.
Yeah.
And subhanAllah, literally like 3 months later we get married. Like 4 months later.
You knew. When you knew, you knew.
Yeah. It was like love at first sight,
yeah,
you know? And
yeah.
I knew.
So Faiza, she fell in love. She got married in Toronto. She has finally met the love of her life, her person. And she flew back to the UK. Started to get comfortable in her new life there. Started to get, you know, used to living in a country she's never lived before. And then she got the good news. The good news that she was pregnant with her first baby, her baby girl, Fortune Jannah. When you had your daughter and you named her Fortune.
Fortune Jannah.
Fortune Jannah.
Yes.
You named her Fortune Jannah.
Yes.
And oh my God, you just seemed so at euphoric peace.
I was.
Oh my God. Like, it was like everything came full circle. You named your daughter after your sister.
I'm telling you.
You like, and you, oh my God, you are such an incredible mom.
Like, oh my God,
you
know, stop.
You're such an incredible mom. You're such a diligent mom.
I definitely try.
No, honestly, mashallah.
Yeah. So now I have this life, right? That
yeah.
I've always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living in a cool, different country. My husband has an accent. What, girl? I'm living. You know what I mean? So I get pregnant now. I have my daughter in Canada. I had my daughter in Canada with my whole family around me.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Like, I was at bliss, right? But unintentionally, I've become the performative Muslim, unintentionally, right? I get so caught up in these titles, the mother, the wife, right? And this image, like now I'm getting concerned with, I'm more concerned with the image. Allah tells us that he tests us with things that are good too, with money, with children, with, and I had these good things and I was, I didn't realize how much I was being tested with these things, right?
Yeah, you were just being a mom.
I was just being a mom. I was so focused on these titles.
Yeah.
So like mm-hmm. on it. Mm-hmm. That's what I cared about. Mm-hmm. I cared about how do I look as a mom?
Yeah.
How can I be the best mom? How do I look as a wife? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more concerned with the image of it. I'm more concerned with how it makes me look than I am with how it's affecting my relationship with Allah. My love, I've misplaced my love for Allah, subhanAllah. I've misplaced it, and Allah told me this. I've learned the tafsir of this. And Allah warned me of this, right? And here I am, thinking that this is blissful, forgetting about everything I worked so hard for, forgetting about my salah, forgetting about continuing my knowledge seeking towards my deen. And I'm placing this love into my kids, into like this life I want to lead, for, into my dunya, subhanAllah. So now I'm in this place, right, where I come back to Canada, I give birth to my second daughter now I have two kids, and I'm in this really unfortunate position where I need to find housing, right? So I make the very, very tough decision,
mm-hmm.
and I move all the way out west.
But yeah, by yourself, by the way.
By myself.
Which I thought that was crazy.
I know.
You
everybody
took two
did.
Baby girls.
I know.
And you went by yourself.
I know. And yeah, everybody mashallah. Was very much against it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I thought like we were talking about earlier, right? Yeah. Like I've always been somebody when I'm super hyper focused on what I want, I don't. There's no stopping me, right?
You don't look left or right, and you're not afraid.
I'm not afraid. No. Yeah. I've lived somewhere. I feel like for me, I've lived abroad already.
Yeah.
So moving across Canada, I didn't see it mm-hmm. as big of a deal as everybody else in my life
yeah.
did.
Yeah. And you did it for your family.
I did it for my family. Yeah. I did it for my kids. So I did. I got up with a 6-week-old baby and a 18-month-old baby, and I moved a 4-hour plane ride away from everything and everyone I knew, away from my mom, away from my friends.
Support system.
Away from the support system.
Mm-hmm.
Further away from my husband, right? Mm-hmm. Who's in England, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I move. And mind you, I'm in this place where, like, I'm in a very tough place right now. I just given birth. And mind you, I didn't really heal from my first birth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really heal myself from that mentally
mm-hmm.
and physically.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm having another baby. And oh, God. Like, everybody likes to talk about the pain, right, of labor and stuff. But for me, it's the emotions.
Mm-hmm. After.
It's for me, it's what it does to you emotionally, right, and mentally.
Mm-hmm. Postpartum.
Postpartum. And I never thought I would reach that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't worried. I was just worried about my kids. I was just worried about my kids. I'm worried about Fortuna. I'm worried about Sophia. I don't care about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
SubhanAllah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I dedicated everything to my mental health, my kids, actively learning my traumas and triggers. And in doing so, I had to make the decision to respect myself enough to leave situations when my honor was something that was up for question.
Faiza and her husband decided to end their marriage. And you can imagine how difficult that is in the circumstances that she's in, because not only is her marriage coming to a crumble, but she's also in a city with two babies, under two, in a city with people she barely knows, and now she's left to mend this really broken heart.
So now I'm in this place where I have kids, and I'm dealing with this trauma, and I'm so insecure about my body, right? Like, for so long, my image was always something, right? Like, how I looked. Now I'm insecure about my body. Now I'm, like, you know what I mean? Like, so much is going on. I'm hurt. I'm broken, right? how can I make this, like, how can I make this better for myself, right? Mm-hmm. But subhanAllah, that I didn't think about getting closer to Allah.
Yeah.
I thought about how much weight can I lose in the next 3 months? And guess what? I did it. 30 pounds down.
I'm telling you, you became a stick.
Yeah.
You're actually nothing. I don't know how and what you did. I'm actually dead.
I'm telling you, I'm the hyper focus in me, sis. This is serious. Wow. So now I'm not worried about correcting my salah, correcting my relationship with Allah. How can I like work on this situation, and how can Allah make this easy for me? Mm-hmm. I never once like actively thought about it. I did passively think about it. I would talk about it. It's not like that was gone from my heart. I was very God conscious at this point in my life.
Yeah.
Where the idea of not wearing hijab hurt me.
Yeah.
But I'm heartbroken. Mm-hmm. Right? So
you're looking for external remedies. You're
exactly.
Just trying to fix the outside of you. So exactly. Sometimes when you're going through kind of turmoil, you look to fix the things that you can fix with your hands. And a lot of times for people, it could be how they look, the exterior part of them, right? Like what other principles, other ideologies. Oh, you want to feel good? Look good. You know, dress like this, dress like that, you know? Look like your age. Look at the things that you see on social media, you know? And then you assume that this is going to make you feel good. And so when you're feeling like maybe lowy, mad, you start thinking, okay, let me fix my hijab. Let me lose weight. Let me feel, you know, let me do this, let me do that. And not really getting to the root of the issue. Because I think we recognize that the root of the issue it requires like for us to really take accountability and recognize our real issue, which can kind of be a sore spot. And so we ignore that and we focus on the things that other people can see. But it's kind of counterproductive because no matter how beautiful this house may be, if the inhabitants of in that house aren't happy, then what do you really have?
I'm thinking about, okay, so I'm working, I'm losing weight, you know, I'm losing weight. So now I want to wear pants, right? Like it started with that. So now I want to wear my tights. I want to wear my pants. You know what I mean? And for a bit, it was kind of like, oh, I just didn't care, right? For a long time, I didn't care about my image. I didn't care about my look. Like, you know, I didn't care if I was wearing pants or whatever, but I prided myself on my hijab. I love my hijab, truly. Because this was the hardest thing for me to fight for. And now I'm contemplating it. SubhanAllah. I'm contemplating it.
About taking it off?
About taking it off.
SubhanAllah.
I'm contemplating it. It hasn't happened, but I'm contemplating it.
Yeah.
And I'm in Edmonton now. Nobody knows me.
Yeah. Nobody would see.
Nobody would see.
Yeah.
I'm in Edmonton. Let me be Faiza from Edmonton. Let me be a whole different person.
Let me rebrand again.
Let me rebrand again.
So,
and subhanAllah, it's crazy because something in me couldn't let me fully like
commit to it.
I still loved it so much.
Yeah.
I loved having it on.
Yeah.
But I'm distancing myself from my deen, and I'm doing it. And I'm doing it, and I'm more worried. Like, you know, naturally, my emotions are all over the place. Like,
yeah, I'm heartbroken.
I'm dealing with so much, right?
Yeah.
Up and down of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And something about me for the last 2 years, within my marriage, having kids, was that there was a lot of emotional instability. Naturally, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this to fault myself.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. I'm giving birth, I'm breastfeeding, da da da. Even throughout me moving, I was still breastfeeding 2 kids.
I know you really were. I don't know how you did that.
So
2 kids full on breastfeeding.
Yeah. So I'm all like my hormones are not in the right place. So
you're still technically in postpartum.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that crazy? You didn't even come out for the first child's postpartum, and then you had a second one.
Exactly.
And then you were. That's crazy.
I know. So there's a lot going on, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot going on naturally, and I'm not gonna fault myself for that.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna fault myself until Sophia's 18 months. Yeah. Then maybe you guys can hold me a little bit more accountable for my emotions, okay? Because
you got all the time in the world, sis. Wallahi, two kids and not having a break.
Yeah.
Postpartum could look like 8 years after that. Like, subhanAllah.
But no.
So recovering.
So now I'm trying to do everything in my power to make myself feel good. An episode that you guys actually recorded, the one with the Lena.
Lena Ahmed. That, talking about beauty.
That touch. That I really felt that one.
Yeah.
I really, really felt that one. As somebody who was very like...
cared about the image.
I cared about how beautiful I was. I cared about how my... That really touched me because something that left me when I was practicing, when I was at my peak, right, was that I didn't worry too much about that anymore.
It was like we removed the shackles of the how we look exterior.
The male gaze.
Let's say what it is.
I know.
It was the male gaze that we're preoccupied about. And
you lose that when you put on your black abaya.
You submit to God. You recognize that it's the internal thing that matters.
Exactly.
And that's true beauty.
Exactly.
That's what the religion tells us, is that it doesn't matter what you look like.
Exactly.
It's about who you are.
So I'm coming full circle now, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, like, of course, like, you know, I just had a kid. Like, all of these things are affecting my personal growth, my emotional growth, and my spiritual growth, right? I have all these barriers. And you know, us as women, we indulge, right? We indulge in things that we care and love about. We indulge in it, and I'm trying to figure out my future and how I'm making all these plans for the dunya. All these plans, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. This is what I'm going to do this time. This is what I'm going to do next month. This is what I'm going to... I'm not even focused anymore. But I have this God consciousness.
Yes, yeah.
I do. Yeah. I fear Allah. I love Allah. I want that relationship. It's just not there for me in this moment in time. And this is recently. I'm talking about recently.
You're talking about right now.
I'm talking about right now. Inshallah, I have that ease, right? Yeah. So I'm here now, right? I'm here. I'm contemplating. I remember talking to two people that I spoke with a lot about my relationship with Allah and how I wanted it to look like, and how I was struggling was my cousin's wife, Sagal, which is a dear friend of mine, and my love, Henny. I love her so much, and I know she listens to this.
Both of them. Hi, Sagal.
Yeah, so they both constantly were reminders for me, right? Mm-hmm. Constantly. Talking to me. And I remember telling Henny, who is my now ex's sister, right? Yeah. My ex-sister-in-law. So I remember her telling her, like, oh, this is what I'm dealing with the hijab. Yeah. And her giving me the most beautiful reminder. And wallahi, that conversation allowed me to keep on my hijab. Wallahi. Like, she was just basically talking to me, like, this is good for you. You should have this, like, look how beautiful you are with it. Like, who, don't lose yourself because of what you're going through. Understand Allah's with you. Understand Allah's with you. Understand that, like, that this relationship you have with your hijab and everything, once you take it off, it only makes your relationship with Allah harder. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And she talked to me. And I remember, I was like, you're right, honey. I'm going to keep my hijab on.
While Faiza basically started to figure out what it is that was missing and what it is she was actually struggling with, she soon realized that she was also struggling with her five daily prayers, her connection and relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in her prayers. And when you don't have that, everything kind of crumbles. But that conversation with her sister-in-law really reminded her to kind of take a step back and assess everything from the beginning. Where am I struggling?
So I remember early May, I'm talking to Sagal, right? I'm talking to her and she's telling me, like, we're talking, we always have these conversations. You know, sometimes you have specific friends, right? For specific things. Mm-hmm. And she was just somebody who constantly, we always constantly talked about, like, our relationship with Allah, right? And how we want to strive and be better, but how it's so hard because we're moms, right?
Yeah.
It was the same constant cycle. So I was always in and out of my salah, subhanAllah. You know what I mean? So it's not that I didn't pray. It's just that it wasn't consistent anymore. And it was harder for it to be consistent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and subhanAllah, I will never forget when salah was at ease for me, where I can mentally tell you when asr was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is how far I've come back, right?
Yeah.
To the point where now salah has become difficult for me again. Mm-hmm. Allah is testing me with my kids and the life he blessed me with. And now slowly these things are being stripped from me, right? Now I'm by myself, no Hoya, you know, me. I'm obsessed with my mom. Where's Hoya? Hoya's not here, you know? No Hoya, no siblings, no friends, no nothing. How can I focus on anything else? I'm in survival. I'm surviving. I sleep 3 hours a night. I'm surviving. I can't focus on anything else.
Two children by yourself.
Yeah. So now I'm in this position where me and her are talking. Me and Sagala are speaking. And she tells me, Faiza, like, you know, like, what are we going to do about our salah? So we're trying to figure out situations. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I keep praying on my yoga mat. SubhanAllah. Like, I keep praying on my yoga mat because at this point I'm taking my health seriously, right? Mm-hmm. I keep praying on my yoga mat. Maybe if I get a real sali, because again, I don't leave my house, right? Yeah. So I don't have the opportunity
to go to the masjid,
to go to places to get these things. I don't know where I am.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of nowhere.
You really are in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of nowhere. And I love it. Mm-hmm. Just heads up.
Yeah, we love Edmonton.
We love Edmonton.
Don't come for me.
So I'm like, yo, I keep using my yoga mat. Maybe if I get a sali, it'll help me.
Yeah.
Right? And then I'm looking through my luggages. Lo and behold, you know what I find? You know the iskudes?
Yeah.
I find my mom's iskudes. I guess she packed it for me.
So iskudes is like a hijab attached to a dress.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a prayer gown.
Like a prayer gown.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So my mom packed it for me. So I find it, subhanAllah, right? I'm so excited. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I'm praying. And it was just this constant on and off, right? So now I'm talking to her and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to order Sully right now while I'm on the phone with you.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. You know, like we're gonna do this. We're gonna, you know how it is. You know, our Muslim sisters, we always have to amp each other up.
Yeah, we have
no
to.
No matter 100%. What. You know what I mean?
100%.
So I bought it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's gonna come in like a month. Okay. I'm like, okay. So I at this point I'm still actively trying, right? Yeah. And mind you, something that I hold dear to my heart but I haven't been able to do for so long is Ramadan.
Mm.
Right?
Well, yeah, because you're breastfeeding.
And I was pregnant, you know, and stuff like that. So I spent the last 2 years just child rearing.
Yeah.
Literally. Mm. In stance, just child rearing, period. So subhanAllah, okay, a month goes by, right? I change my number. I get a knock on my window. I just find this part of the story crazy, okay? But I get a knock on my window. Because I live like in a short story building, right? So I get a knock on my window and there's this Amazon driver there. And I don't know how he knew this was my apartment, okay? And he's like, hey, are you Faiza? I said, yeah. He's like, oh, here's your package. I'm like, what is this? I didn't order nothing. I completely forgot about the Sully, right? So I'm like, I didn't order anything. And I'm like, oh, he couldn't call me. I changed my number.
Yeah.
So he knocked on how did he know this was my random and crazy is how did he know this window was mine?
Yeah.
Like what a coincidence.
And then you were there.
And I'm telling you. So I open it and it's my Sully.
Yeah.
It's a Sully I bought. Yeah. And I'm like, this is a sign, you know? Because at this point, you know, I'm nearing the end of my divorce, right?
I need God more than ever.
I need, yeah. You know, like, do I want to be like I'm contemplating to myself, right? Because you know how it is sometimes with divorces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it either brings you closer to Allah
or very far away, yeah.
It's, right?
It's never in the middle. Yeah.
And at this point, I'm in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yo, am I going to have a halal girl summer? Or am I going to have a hot girl summer? We don't know yet, right?
You know.
Because I'm hurt. It's a tough situation, right? So I see the Sully. I'm like, this is a sign. I have to pray istikhara, right?
Wow.
I have to pray.
Yeah.
So I do wudu. I pray. My friend that I just met that day comes over.
Yeah.
Like it was a very sweet girl I met who I also had like mom, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to
make mom friends.
So she comes over and I'm telling her, well, isn't this crazy? Like I just got the Sully. He knew the door. Like this has to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Allah's calling to me. Like I need to go to Allah. This is Allah telling me that it's time for me to stop and focus and go back to where I was happiest, right? And that is with Allah, right? Following his commandments and following the sunnah, right? So I have to, this has to be a sign. So I'm telling her. I'm like, yo, like, I don't even, you know me, I'm an open book. Met her that day and I'm telling her. I'm like, yo, like, this has to mean something, right? And she's sitting there. She's like, yeah, Abaya, you're right. You know what I mean? So I say, you know what? I'm going to pray. So I prayed the rest of that day. And I said, I remember when I was in Al Hada, I had a really big problem with waking up for Fajr. So I used to always make du'a. You know, besides staying up for it, I was like, it's hard for me to wake up for it. So I used to make du'a. I used to say, Ya Allah, please wake me up for Fajr. You know what I mean? Allow me to wake up for Fajr, you know, on time. And subhanAllah, anytime I made that du'a by, I would wake up right at the time that
right
it's Fajr.
Time.
I'm not, if I, subhanAllah, like, sometimes the miracles Allah shows you on a day-to-day,
yeah,
and we choose to ignore, subhanAllah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to wake up for Fajr.
Mm-hmm.
This is June 9th, right? I want to wake up this month, the last month.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wake up for Fajr. I want to be able to go back to Allah. I don't want to make a mistake. I'm feeling a lot of feelings. I'm very all over the place. I don't want to disappoint my Lord, you know? I'm already doing something that is disliked, right? I'm getting a divorce. So I have to find that peace somewhere within my deen, because I know that's where it is, because I've been there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not jahil. I'm not a little jahil 18-year-old anymore. I'm mm-hmm. a grown woman now mm-hmm. with kids. I'm so worried and focused and reading books about how to make sure I don't pass on these traumas to my children, but yeah. I want to make sure I pass on something good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I pass on salah. I want them to see, you know? And haven't been praying for a bit for the last few weeks now, and seeing my daughter follow me, like, this is what I want. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm like, I make du'a that night. I pray Aisha, I make du'a that night, and I say, Ya Allah, allow me to wake up for Fajr. Some way, somehow, right? And 4 a.m., I think it was like 3:45. Wallahi, Fajr was around that time, right? I got the adhan for Fajr on my phone. Safiya and Fortune wake up. They both wake up crying. Fortune usually doesn't, right? Crying hysterical. I'm like, okay, so I grab Fortune, I grab Safiya, I give them both Nas, or I give them both Anna, and I look at the time, it's Fajr. Okay, so I go, I put Safiya down, I go do wudu, I pray Fajr for the first time in a very long time, in a few months, I would say. And I feel good. I feel great. And I'm sitting there, I'm doing my adhkar, I'm making my du'a, right? And I get a phone call. I get a phone call from one of my younger brothers, Ilyas. And I get a call that Mahad's dead. My brother, my sweet, sweet brother Mahad has passed away in his sleep. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I could not believe what I was hearing. Because I was just talking to him. What? I was just talking to him. Like, we were just making plans. You know what I mean? Like, subhanAllah, it's tough, you know? And all I could think is, again? Like, truly, all I could think is, again? This is happening again? I couldn't believe it. And I've been dealing with that, right, for the last few weeks, and it's hard, it's incredibly hard to deal with grief. And I'm here again, right? I'm here. I'm dealing with what I dealt with 10 years ago, right? And you mentioned something on your podcast where you said, I heard you guys were saying something about how, you know, there's the beginning, middle, and the end of a story, right?
Yeah.
And
the beginning doesn't matter.
The beginning doesn't matter, right?
It's always the ending that matters.
It's always the ending. And here I am in the middle mm-hmm. of my story, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not at the end of my story.
Mm-mm.
And it's crazy how things come in full circle,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I started this with the death, and I'm ending this with a death. But the difference is that there's understanding. This time around, right?
Yeah.
I loved my brother Mahad so much. He was my twin, right? Yeah. We look the same. May Allah grant him the highest level of Jannah.
Ameen.
Because I didn't expect it. You don't think these things will happen to you in this manner, right? And I didn't expect it. And death just came. It came and it went just like that. And in 2 days, it would be a month that he's been gone, right? And although I don't feel like I've healed, I can't sit here and say I've healed from this trauma or anything, but I can tell you that I understand. I can tell you that if there's anything I can take from Mahad's life, is that don't ever stop trying. Because my brother, this was the sweetest person, the sweetest. He talked with a whisper naturally, consistently, constantly. He talked with a whisper. He was so gentle and he was so God conscious. So God conscious from day one, from the beginning of his life. And he always pushed and strived for us to get closer to Allah. Always, always, wallahi. And he never stopped trying. He always tried in the way of Allah. And nobody who, everyone who knows him can tell you that he would not speak to you without speaking about Allah. How was your relationship with Allah? How's your relationship with Allah? What are we doing to get better? What are we doing to pray? How are we doing to be better Muslims? He always tried. And I know, I don't know actually, but I'm sure of it that an example has to come from this, right? What am I if I don't walk away from this death the best Muslim I can be? How can I honor my brother? How can I sit here and say I love him? I love him. I love Fortun. How can I sit here and say that and don't continuously strive for them in this dunya? Why am I their sibling? Why am I here if I'm not doing that? It took me 5 years to figure that out with Fortun. And I'll be damned if it takes me 5 years to figure it out with Mahad. I'm not. I'm here and Allah placed me in this dunya. Allah placed me in their lives to strive for them, right? To make sure they have the sadaqah jariyah continuously, to pray for them, to make dua for them.
I wanted to make sure that the next janazah that I was in, that I attended, that of somebody closest to me, like a sibling or a parent, that I was 100% coherent and aware, because I didn't get that opportunity with Fortunes. So the entire plane ride on my way back to Toronto that night was me just telling myself that I have to stay as strong as I can, because I have to make sure that, like, this is a moment where I'm saying goodbye, right? I'm saying my salams to Mahad forever. So I wanted to make sure that I was there and I was not emotional and I was not irrational, and that I was in a space where I can mourn and grieve, but I can remember and come back to it and seeing his body there cold was all anyone could need to give them that push, you know? And it was hard. It was incredibly hard to see him. And parts of me wishes that I didn't, because I feel like it's a reality that it's a hard reality to, and it's a hard pill to swallow, and it's a hard reality to come to terms with. But,
and I refuse, you know, I'm here again to hold myself accountable, right? I'm here to hold myself accountable, and in doing so, I have to know that as hard as this podcast is for me, as hard as it is for me to speak about me being in the hardest part of my life right in front of you,
yeah, right now,
and not come back to you a year later, Adar, inshallah, may Allah reunite us here a year later, and I'm not a better Muslim, and I'm not distracted from my love for Allah and I'm continuously striving for knowledge, if I'm not, then what am I? Then how can I say I love my siblings? How can I say, I know, today I know. I can cry for Mahat every day, and I will cry for him because I loved him deeply. We all did. And he was a great person, and his janazah proved it, just as much as Fortune's janazah proved it. SubhanAllah, the masjid opened the same day he died.
Yeah.
How can I take these things and walk away from it and not think and ponder and reflect? It's not. It shouldn't take me 5 years. I should do it today, right now. Mm-hmm. I need to get up and pray now. And I'm not perfect. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect. I'm not. I struggle. And I'm going to continue to struggle. But one thing I'm not going to do is stop trying. You know what I mean? I have to, because Allah told us. He gave us the blueprint. So how can I sit here and wallow? I know that that's coming for me tomorrow, Adar. It's either you're attending my janazah or I'm attending yours,
yeah,
Abaya.
Yeah.
And subhanAllah, like, as hard as this point in my life is, and it is hard, I'm not going to sit here, and I know, like, you know, I'm not somebody who's going to, like, act like I don't deal with some severe pain in my chest every day, knowing that he's not on this earth. But I have the understanding now. And I know that Allah, we're not on this earth to please each other. I'm not here to make halal happy every day. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm not here just to take care of my kid. We're not here to do these things, Abaya. We're here to strive in the way of goodness and to strive towards Allah. And everything Allah asks us to do, and I know this, with my limited knowledge, I know this, is good for us. So how can I sit here today, knowing everything I went through, right? Mm-hmm. Up until this point, and how can I turn away from him? How can I turn away from the mercy of Allah? When it was only Allah who got me out of it, right? After continuously disrespecting and purposely going as far as possible from Allah, Allah still allowed me to gain nearness in him, despite everything. And in doing so, I was blessed with so much. And I took advantage of those blessings. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Mahad's death was some sort of sign for me, because it was qadr. It was meant to happen. Mm-hmm. It was meant to happen the way it did. But if I don't take something from it, what is the point? Well, he would have died in vain.
He would have died in vain.
For no reason. So if I'm not actively trying to pray, to learn, to be the best Muslim I can be, then I'm going to be stuck. I'm going to be stuck in this pain and sorrow. You know what I mean? I know there's a lot of people out there who struggle with the balance. And I was listening to you guys talk about back to the basics and how much that benefited me. Knowing that I was, once upon a time, 2 years ago, I was in the mosque, I was reading the Quran, and I relearned, and now I'm back square one. And all the blessings that Allah gave me, I was being tested with. And now that I'm trying to get back, all this knowledge that took me so long, halal is right there, that took me so long to learn Abaya, now I have to go back and relearn it. Mm-hmm. Because I filled my head up with breastfeeding. I filled my head up with
your titles.
With my titles. And oh, how am I going to do this? And how am I going to do that? And where am I going to go? And how's my future? I was so busy with all of this stuff, Abaya. And now look at me. I'm here. I'm talking about my pain openly and honestly. Because I know so many women understand this. And the hardship, you know, there's one thing to not have the understanding, right? There's one thing to be jahil and not understand, mm-hmm. and just kind of la-di-di about your life. But what about the people in the middle, like me, right? Mm-hmm. Who are always teetering
tottering over
over what's right, what to do,
Yeah. Where to go? Where to stand? Yeah.
Like, how I want to live.
Yeah. And I think more of us are in the teeter totter.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah. You know, people think they're at the beginning or the most of us are in the teeter tottering. Yeah.
Because we have to ask Allah to keep us on the straight path.
And that's the whole point of the Fatiha, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think we have to read it every salah?
Yeah.
Every salah, we're asking Allah to keep us in the teeter, when we're in the teeter totter, to keep us in the middle.
Exactly.
SubhanAllah. Because we can't, as humans, we teeter totter.
Allah.
And only Allah provides us the singularity spot to stay in the middle of it and to eventually end up at the end of that path with Him.
Exactly. Inshallah. May Allah grant us easy path to Him.
Yeah, I mean, all of us. And it's sometimes so hard to be in the teeter totter too, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like there's a guilt too, you know, because you knew better, and then you're still.
That's what
It's just weird. It's a weird in limbo phase.
I know.
You know better, but you're not doing better. And then even if, let's say you are, and then you fall off, and you feel guilty that you fell off, and then it's just as weird. But the thing is, I think the beautiful story about Allah and His slave is that no matter how far the slave goes, he returns, and Allah welcomes him back. And I think that's the point of the story.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us imperfect, right? And that He gave us the power to come back. And and there's a reason why He accepts us each and every time. Because it's just, that's the story of the Creator and His slave. That's the beautiful story. That's the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Is that He returned and Allah brought Him back. You know what I mean? Like, he gave Him open arms.
I know. And I cannot begin to stress enough how important these type of initiatives are that you do, right? Because sometimes we need these spaces, especially in the middle of a pandemic, right? Where we've all been at home, where we don't have the resources.
Where we've lost a lot.
We lost a lot. So, SubhanAllah, like, it's just the continuously trying.
Yeah.
Continuously striving, because Allah does not give up on us.
No, He did. I know. And it's just sad because it's like He's never given up on us, but we've given up on ourselves.
SubhanAllah.
Yep. You know, and that's the tragedy.
Exactly.
It's not the tragedy with Him. It's with us, because we gave up on ourselves.
Exactly. And I don't want that. I don't want that for myself. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm going to be the best. But I know now.
Yeah.
I know now that there's only one way out of this. And there's no amount of back streets that I can take that will get me out of this. There's only one way.
Yeah. It's only way, one way up. Like, when you're at rock bottom, where does it go? It's up.
Exactly. So I have to do it because I love my brother and I love my sister and I still love them till this day. And I know that their akhira, I know that they're in their grave. Their time has started. So what can I do to honor them?
Mm-hmm.
If I loved Mahat and if I loved Fortune, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I loved them so dearly, I held them close, how can I forget about them?
How do we continue to give to them? How do we benefit their akhirah?
Exactly.
How do we make it easy for them in the grave?
Exactly. And the only way we can do that is through Allah.
Allah, yeah. Sadaqah, dua.
Remembrance.
There's so many things that we can do for them.
So I don't have the ability. Like, I know everybody loves to say I'm strong, and as much as I hate that word, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not strong at all. I just know that I've spent a lot of my life dwelling.
Yeah.
There's no more of that. Now it's understanding, embracing. When I need to cry, I'm going to cry.
Mm-hmm.
When I want to be emotional, I told you, give me 18 months. I still have 18 months. I'm still going through postpartum, you know, girl? When it's time for me to cry, I'm going to cry. When it's time for me I'm not holding in any emotions. That's what people don't understand. Everybody thinks phase is holding it all in, trying to be strong. No, I'm very emotional. And I will cry when I need to cry. I will talk when I need to talk. I'll overshare. I'm the queen of oversharing. So, like, I will. But the reality is...
Yeah.
I'm not in that space right now. I'm in the space of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the
and closeness to Allah, you know, like when you're in that cocoon with Him.
Exactly. And I'm also in a space where I just don't have time to business. Like, I don't have that time to wallow about, oh, I'm a divorce, or oh my God. Like, I don't have that time. The only time I have right now is knowing that I'm going to go there to? What have I prepared for my akhira?
Mm-hmm.
As much as I work hard in this, what have I prepared for my akhira right now? And I'm not in any space to sit here and say I'm the best. Who knows what's going to come of me tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
But subhanAllah, like, I just want to be able to be the best Muslim. Mm-hmm. To be the best Muslim. And I know with doing that, that everything else will come easy to me. And of course, like, seek therapy if you need it and stuff like that. And I definitely will. Mm-hmm. Like, if I can, like, find the money, I could. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Because I think these things are important as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I do think focusing on your mental health and actively focusing on working to be better, mm-hmm. and positive affirmation and being positive to yourself. And something I realized within learning about these things, about the mental and emotional, because for the last few months before all of this happened, I was really focused on trying to figure myself out.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out what triggers me, how to heal me.
How to heal these
inner problems I have, because I don't want to pass them on to my kids, right? Mm-hmm. So in doing so, I'm doing all of this. I remember pondering constantly and like reading this book called How to Do the Work. I don't know if you heard about it. And constantly thinking about how a lot of these aspects that these therapists and these people like that do like all this inner working stuff, a lot of the aspects of what they tell you to do is that you can find that in Islam.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. Every self-help book, I swear to God, read the Quran. I don't care what anybody says.
I'm telling you.
I'd be reading, I'm like, bro, this is plagiarism. This is actually plagiarism, intellectually stealing.
I know.
From the concept and the
from the prophet, subhanAllah.
Understanding certain concept, it's from our religion. It's crazy. What? Nobody will know that until they read it.
I'm telling you. They read it. So I remember I was in that place, right? Where I'm like trying to figure myself out, trying to figure out my emotions, positive affirmations. So I was always kind of like a realist, you could say, or a pessimist, depends on who you ask. But I'm like, no, I need to be nothing and no one can get me out of this. I need to be in a positive space, right?
Yeah.
I need to figure myself out. And subhanAllah, like now that I always felt so alone, right? Mm-hmm. For the last few months since my daughter's been born and I've moved, I felt very alone, very stranded. And it's so saddening to know that I never once realized that Allah has never left me.
Mm. That part.
You know what I mean? I just chose to not strive towards Him, subhanAllah. So, yeah.
You okay? You know what, Faiza? You killed it. Thank you. You know, this story, it's gonna blow up. I already know. Because you had such beautiful hindsight and perspective. And I just want to say, Jazakallah khair for having the courage to come, because I know it wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. And I know it wasn't easy.
Please make du'a for my brother, Mahad.
I would, the listeners, if you're listening, keep Faiza and her family in your du'as.
My brother, my sister, my mother, most definitely my mother.
Your mother lost two children. I can't imagine.
I always think about it, because I only have two children.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
SubhanAllah. But my mom,
May Allah grant her the highest level of Jannah. May Allah reunite her with her children in Jannah.
Ameen. Ameen. And may my family strive to be better Muslims and better people and better towards each other and others on the outside too, you know?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm Faiza Abdul Imam. I'm in Hirsi Ghirre. Thank you for listening, Faiza, broadcasting, and thank you welcoming my daughter. And losing two kids, everybody knows how hard it is, but when you have Iman, Allah is going to make it easy for you. Alhamdulillah. I'm okay. Alhamdulillah, everybody who ilmuhodi waayeen waxaan Ilaahay uga baryayaa inuu Ilaahay siiyo iimaan buuxa. Adduunkan waa la dhimanaa, waa la noolaanaa, waa wax qadar Alla ku imaaday. Waa very hard to lose your two kids, but alhamdulillah, Allah give me iimaan. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thank you so much for invite Faiza and me. I always listen to your broadcast. Really happy for you guys. Thank you so much. I'm doing great. Thank you. Please make dua for my two kids, for Toon and Mahat, and all my family, and everybody who lost their kids. And make dua for me to have a strong iman. Please, thank you so much. And I really appreciate it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
This episode is brought to you by Beautiful Light Studios. I love to give a shout out, as I always do every week, to Munishik Umar for producing this episode. By the way, if you don't know, we dropped our TDS merch. We got tote bags. We got stickers. We got a coffee tea mug. You can find it on our website at www.thedigitalsisterhood.com. Also, we need y'all to join our Patreon, okay? We want these episodes continuing to thrive. You want them every Friday. You know what I'm saying? But support us, inshallah, by joining our Patreon membership. You can also find it on our website. And as usual, you guys, that's it. I will see you next Friday in your ears, in your speakers, telling you a good story.